Thursday afternoon. Welcome to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Clark Johnson in for Brady Hull. Brady out today. Man, he's having fun today. I know it. CSU Rams practice. They open camp today. So Brady out there with Steve Adazio and the gang. He'll be back in tomorrow to wrap up your Friday. So Hulligans, stand by. He'll be back. We've got Rockies baseball coming up in 25 minutes. Pre-game show at 12:30. First pitch at 1:10. So we'll get to that in a second. I was talking earlier today with somebody in the front office about comebacks. There seemed to be a lot of and now that gambling is a part of our everyday life here, and there's only baseball right now, really. Well, that's not true. You can gamble on the Olympics. You can gamble on Korean ping pong, but I'm not going to go that far. Baseball, the big thing, you know, at least what I follow right now as far as gambling goes, been a lot of bullpen collapses this year and comebacks. So we started talking comebacks and got to what was the best comeback that you have seen in your life, if you can remember, in any sport, it doesn't matter. And I always go back to, and I'm 150 years old, but 1974, the site, the L.A. Coliseum, USC Notre Dame football. And if you're a football fan and you're, you know, in your 50s or 60s like me, you remember this. I think SC was number one at the time. Notre Dame, I think, was two. Ara Parseghian and Notre Dame come into the Coliseum. I'm there. We had, my dad was an SC grad. We had season tickets, of course, went to a million USC games. And this was the one, though. It's really, it had all the hype going in. I'm a 13-year-old sitting in the seats going, ah, this is the greatest. And Notre Dame comes out and goes 20. This is Anthony Davis was the big running back for USC at the time. And Notre Dame comes out, and before you know it, Ara Parseghian and the Fighting Irish 24-0 lead in the Coliseum against the number one team in the country. And you're like, ah, this is awful. And nobody really remembers kind of the thing that instigates the USC comeback was final 2 minutes of the first half, and they pitched the ball out to Anthony Davis, 24-0 game. He gets in the end zone with a couple minutes to go, and maybe even inside a minute in the first half. 24-6, they miss the extra point. They're off the field. So you're thinking, okay, is that impetus for USC to come back? Probably not in the second half, but the second half kickoff, Davis takes it back for a touchdown, and then the onslaught begins. 55 points for USC in 17 minutes. Charles Phillips, great defensive back, taking one back for a touchdown, I think capped the 55 points. But one of my best friends, his dad was a traveling salesman. He's driving through the Vegas desert at the time, listening to the ballgame, and he's a huge Notre Dame fan. He said he got pulled over at 103 miles an hour out there. He said, I was trying to chase Anthony Davis home, and the cop didn't buy it. He still wrote him up, but what a comeback! The Sports Illustrated cover the next week. Anthony Davis scored 6 touchdowns in that 55-point run, and so the next day the LA Times. 6 times across the top of the page, Davis, 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 exclamation points after each one. And then you go to a week later, the Sports Illustrated came out, and it said, greatest comeback in history, the California earthquake. I mean, that's one for me. I'll tell you, greatest comebacks in a year where baseball's seeing all these late-inning comebacks. I'll always go back to 74, USC, Notre Dame, great stuff right there. All right, Rockies baseball coming up here at about 12:30 pregame show, then 1:10 first pitch. Last night, Rockies drop it to the Cubs. I had said the Cubs were disinterested. 13-6, Rockies won the opening game of the series on Tuesday. And then I said, okay, the Cubs are just disinterested. I mean, disinterested. They sent everybody and their mother packing. So they were a complete seller, the biggest seller in MLB. But they jump out and beat the Rockies last night, 3-2. Cubs, Patrick Wisdom, 3-run double in the fifth. The Rockies, all their runs in the first last night, 2-0. Brendan Rodgers doubled in a run, and then T. Story, of course, with an RBI ground out. So the Rockies get a 2-0 lead. I think, okay, you know, I'm back in the Rockies last night. I'm thinking Cubs, they don't care. And they came back, beat the Rockies, of course, that big 3-run fifth inning did it. How did John Gray do? Middle of the road last night, I'd say, for Gray. And that's what his record is right now. 7-7 for John Gray. kind of surprised, really surprised T. Story's still there, surprised that John Gray is still there, surprised that Germán Márquez is still there. Not sure what the Rockies' M.O. is now, as I thought certainly they'd be sellers in that market, but and try to get the youngsters to come through. Gray last night, 6 innings, 8 hits, 3 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, just 1 walk, but that's 9 runners in 6 innings, so 1.5 whip last night for Gray. So he had traffic, there's no doubt, but the rubber game of the match will be today. That's the 1:10 first pitch, Rockies and the Cubs. Jake Arrieta will go for the Cubbies. 5-10 for Arrieta so far, 6.20 ERA, and that's not the same Jake Arrieta that was with the Cubs. I mean, Arrieta was fantastic when he was pitching in Chicago. He had a couple of years where he, you could say he was one of the best pitchers in the game. He'll go against Antonio Senzatella today. Senzi's having a tough one, 2-8. The ERA's not bad. It's 4.58, and if you look at that he pitches half of those games in Coors Field, that's a pretty decent number. That tells me the Rockies don't score for him. They've not, they've just not supplied him with many runs. So Rockies minus 157 favorites today. I take the Rockies today. I just think that the Cubs' disinterest, maybe that it didn't cost them last night in the 3-2 win, but I think over the long run down the stretch, they're going to be a team that you can fade a little bit. But so I'd look at the Rockies today, maybe go minus 1.5. What did I hear? A ton of games this year. Rockies, when they win, have won by 2 or more runs. So if you're playing them on a betting app, maybe taking the run line, minus 1.5 is the way to go. Probably get them down to even money or so with that. Over-under tonight's 11.5 in that one. Talking about the Rockies, the disparity between home and away. Rockies now 13 games over 500 at home. I think today I saw they're tied for the 5th best home record in the league. They were number one at home. I mean, if we go back maybe 3 weeks ago or so, but that's flattening out, and their awful road record, they were easily the worst road team in the league. Now they're tied with Texas and Arizona with 13 road wins. So Rockies are starting to bring it up. They're still 28 games under on the road. So what I hate about that are the national guys who over all of the years have said, well, Rockies offensively, you can't go with their numbers because they play half the games at Coors Field. Well, if you're going to go there, then you got to go on the same breath. You've got to say, well, their pitchers are way better than we think because they've got decent ERAs at Coors Field. So you can't take away from one without giving to the other. But I hate that. I mean, it's everybody has to come here, so the other teams come here. And the Rockies, for years, if you look at their road stats, you know, over the last 10 years, they've had times where their staff was in the top 3 in the league ERA on the road. Some of their better players, Todd Helton, great road hitter. I mean, they've had good stats on the road. This year, it's not the case. So everybody and their mother who has that, oh, they play at Coors Field, you can't take any of their stats seriously. They're coming out of the woodwork this year with the way the stats are going there. Started thinking, too, about the Rockies are 18 in payroll. And I was looking at payroll the other day, and I started to see 2 top payrolls in the league. You guessed it. I mean, MLB is about the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. If you're in that small market, you know, you probably, unless you're the Seattle Mariners, you reside in the bottom of the MLB numbers. But Yankees and Dodgers, I mean, those are the guys, those are the two that have the unbelievable. What are the Dodgers are 250, well, I take that back. It's Dodgers are 267 million is their payroll, and the Yankees are 203 million. But here's the number. The Yankees are paying to injured reserve players, players who are not even on the field. The Yankees are paying over $87 million to. The Dodgers paying around $53 million. But $87 million for the Yankees to players who aren't even contributing, that number is higher than 8 the bottom eight payroll teams in the league in entire payroll for their teams. That just gives you a little indication of how the payroll differences in MLB without a salary cap are making this league a top and bottom league. I mean, there's just simply no doubt about it. I got to I always jot down each week. I go through and make my own power rankings for the MLB, and I looked at it, and it rings pretty true. I told you Seattle is the oddball. Seattle's 26 in not Seattle. Tampa Bay is who I'm thinking of. Now Seattle's having a great year too, but Tampa Bay Rays they're the odd duck in the payroll game. They're number 26 out of the 30 teams for payroll, but they just keep replenishing their lineup. I mean, they got rid of Willie Adames, Rich Hill, and Diego Castillo this year. Just replace them with young. They keep bringing up talented players. So really rocking and rolling, Tampa Bay. They're my number four team in my top four power rankings, MLB. In June, they were 12-14. Not a great month, but 16-8 in July. So Tampa Bay starting to roll. We'll see what we'll see how they finish. But I always got to include a team that's in the group of teams that have the lowest payroll, and there is Tampa Bay. But as I said, everybody else, Houston is my number three, number four payroll there. Everybody said, hey, we're going to go bug the Astros this year and bring our garbage cans to the games and make boo and jeer the Astros for being cheaters and everything. So everybody thought, well, Astros on the road are going to struggle. Well, they're better on the road than they are at home this year. So Astros, they're my number three team, 65-43, 22 games above 500. The Dodgers, they're my number two team right now, 65-44. They just keep getting richer and richer. Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, those are the two big gets before the trading deadline. And where do they go? I'm a Padre guy, and my son came home one day, and he goes, oh, man, Padres are going to get Scherzer. Well, thought they were. They didn't. He went to the Dodgers, of course. So in a year where Trevor Bauer's having trouble, legal trouble, and Kershaw's coming back slowly from his injury, Scherzer is huge for them. They get Trey Turner, too. So unbelievable stuff for the Dodgers. They just keep grabbing these big-name players. So Dodgers are my number two, and my number one team – everybody says they're going to keep falling. Everybody says they're going to fall. San Francisco Giants, baby. Number 10 payroll, so they're kind of in the mix in the payroll deal, but fourth lowest ERA in the majors. And then you get that bullpen. Remember Jake McGee, if you're a Rockies fan? He wasn't great with the Rockies. And here is Tyler Rogers and Jake McGee now for the Giants in the bullpen. 2.10 ERA and a 0.9 whip out of the bullpen. And then they add Chris Bryant to the mix, whose bat is still alive. Giants just keep getting better. But you've got the Dodgers and the Padres, who everybody thought it would be a fight between Dodgers and the Padres for first this year. And maybe it ends that way. I don't know. But the Giants just keep winning. So they keep on knocking it out in San Francisco. All right, we'll come back on the whole show. Clark in for Brady. Brady at CSU camp today, but he'll be back for you hooligans tomorrow, and we'll get back to that. When we come back, my side of the game over here at KFK is the prep side. We've got our 13 days, 13 teams training camp coverage coming up starting on Monday. We'll kind of hit that schedule when we get back, talk about some of the coaches we'll be talking to, either on Clark and the Coach here, show that precedes this one, or next week in our 13 days, 13 teams. That'll go from 5 to 6 p.m. out at each school in the afternoon next week. All right, we'll come back on the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
And 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All righty, welcome back to the Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. Clark's in for Brady today. Brady out at the CSU Rams practice as they open camp today, so... boy, I from what everything that I've heard so far, Their defense, the Rams' defensive line is going to be really, really good this year. So should be Ellison Hubbard. Join Brady, of course, Ellison Hubbard show on the Brady on the whole show here. Ellison's a big dude, too. He's a good dude, too. There's no doubt about it. So CSU, man, I hope they're good this year. No doubt about it. So let's get to it. We're talking football. Before we get there, Olympics. I didn't go to Olympics. Not a big Olympic watcher, but just a couple of things I put my eyes on last night. The national women's soccer team for the U.S. That's Megan Rapinoe and Carly Lloyd and company. They did win 4-3. They won against Australia yesterday. So that takes away from the Daniel Tosh joke of what's the over under in the soccer game, minus a half. I mean, it's soccer. Yeah, it's low scoring a lot. I get that in hockey too. I'm a hockey guy, and people say, oh, hockey's 0-0 or 1-0 in hockey's boring. Some of the best hockey games I've ever watched, great goaltending, were low-scoring games. So I don't agree with that usually, but how about 7 goals in a soccer game? So U.S. gets that. They get the bronze, and I know that everybody thought the women's team was going to go get a gold medal, but or get to the gold medal game anyway, but they get the bronze. Basketball last night made their way with a win to the gold medal game. They'll take on France now. They beat Australia. Is that who they beat? No. Who did they beat last night? Yeah, they did beat Australia, 97-78. So Durant had a big game. I think he had 25 or so. So Durant carries the team, and they get into that you know, kind of a funky year for U.S. basketball in the Olympics. They get to the gold medal game against France. That's what Angel told me, and that's I'm going to believe him on that. So, yeah. All right. My gig out here at KFK is of course, on the prep side. We get something we've done now for about 10 years. Our training camp coverage starts next week, and our schedule is going to look like this. We've got about 2 minutes left here. So if this can get in your minds, and you guys can turn us on next week, starting Monday, on Clark and a Coach, that's from 11 to 12 each day here on KFK, myself and Bruce Dick, we'll have the head coach of each of these schools on during that hour. And then from 5 to 6 each night, we'll be out at the practice field for player coach interviews and all that fun stuff. 13 days, 13 teams. We'll start out Monday with Troy Hoppen of the Platte Valley Broncos from Kersey. 12th year for Troy Hoppen. One of the best talking coaches. Man, he can go. Great stuff with Troy Hoppen on Monday. Tuesday the 10th, University Casey Dawson is 9th year for a program that just continues to improve. How about Severance? Jeff Van Winkle, all he did at Rez for 3 years was go 27-4, three straight Final Fours. Now he goes to Severance. They get seniors for the first time. We'll have them on the 11th. Then the defending state defending champions at the 2A level, 2A for football, the Eaton Reds. Zach Lemon in his 8th year with the Reds. So Zachary will have the mic on Thursday, the 12th. Then the 13th, talk about another state champion, the Loveland, the I word. I was going to use it. I didn't. The Loveland football team. They will be Alan Jeffries, the defensive coordinator forever. I mean, he was with John Poovey, for crying out loud, years ago. I want to say over 20 years for Jeffries at the school. He's now the head coach. Takes over for Jeff Mock there. Bob Mock, who was on that staff with Jeff, is now the Resurrection Christian head coach. We'll have them the last day on the 25th. But that's what we've got for the first week. The second week, Greeley West, Jason Renoff, his 9th year. Terrific, terrific guy. How about Valley, Scott Leffler? Second year, I think, for Scott there. Roosevelt on Wednesday, the 18th. That's Lane Wassinger and his club. Love what they do over there. 5th year for Lane Wassinger. Highland on the 19th. That's Zach Sandstrom in his 5th year. Then Dayspring, Benny Fusco and company. Fossil Ridge on the 23rd on a Monday. Jeff Fulton's 3rd year there. Fort Collins, Matt Yim. in his third year. We'll be on Tuesday the 24th. And then, as I said, Rez Christian winds things up the 25th. Bob Mock, his first year at Resurrection Christian. Rockies warm-up is coming up here in about 40 seconds. So we'll get you guys to that. First pitch, 110, Arrieta and Senzatella as they go to the rubber game of the series right there. And we'll see if the Rockies, coming off that 3-2 loss yesterday, can knock this one out of the park. Brady will be back tomorrow for you Hooligans. He'll jump back on the mic after spending the day at the CSU Rams practice as they open up camp today. Hug your kids. We'll talk to you soon. Northern Colorado's voice. It is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.